We're going to continue our movement through the book of Acts this morning, searching for the life in the Holy Spirit that God demonstrated here. Today is July 7th of 2019. I entitled our message, Peter's Message, took the text of Acts 3, 11 to 26. Now, my outline ended up really simple. The Holy Spirit's purpose is to glorify Jesus. And then number two, the Holy Spirit's plan is salvation in the name of Jesus. So these people had gathered to see what God had done, and the Holy Spirit and Peter take advantage of the situation. The audience will hear the truth about Jesus and themselves, and they will hear, and we will read, first of all, who Jesus is, next, how they had rejected Jesus, then how their rejection was fatal, and they will hear what they need to change their situation. So the question is, what is it we will hear? We'll read how Peter interacts with them in Solomon's court. But what is it the Holy Spirit will show us today? Acts 3, 11 to 15. The beggar was holding on to Peter and John. All the people were amazed. They came running to them in Solomon's porch. Can you see this? Solomon's porch is the entryway to the temple in Jerusalem. And that's the one place that everybody was welcome. Gentiles could be there. The girls could be there. The guys were there. But everyone could gather in Solomon's porch. And they all had walked past this blind beggar on their way into prayers that day. And now here he is walking, jumping, praising. And there he is standing with his legs repaired after 40 years of being crippled, hanging on to Peter and John. Obviously, it's going to draw a crowd. Verse 12. When Peter saw this, he said, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us? We haven't made this man walk by our own goodness. The God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has done this. He has brought glory to Jesus who serves him. But you handed Jesus over to be killed. Pilate decided to let him go, but you spoke against Jesus when he was in Pilate's court. You spoke against the holy and blameless one. You asked for a murderer to be set free instead. You killed the one who gives life. But God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this." So the Holy Spirit and Peter are speaking the truth in love to these people. And somehow, what the first few times that I read that, it didn't seem very loving. But the more I looked at it, the more I thought about it, Peter is really in love with these people in Solomon's court. You handed Jesus over to be killed. Pilate decided to let him go. You spoke against him in Pilate's court. You killed the one who gives life. So, number one on my message, the Holy Spirit purpose is to glorify Jesus. So just to be clear, the Holy Spirit is Jesus' spirit. When Jesus walked the earth in his body, the spirit that he gave sovereign control to his life was the Holy Spirit. When he and the Father sent the Holy Spirit at Pentecost here just a chapter before, that same Holy Spirit became available to us. We can have the same Spirit that Jesus had. It's just a matter of how much control we will let him have. A on your outline, Jesus received glory for healing the crippled man. Received is your first blank. The apostles and the Holy Spirit directed everyone's attention to Jesus, not to themselves. They didn't take any credit for it. They were quick to pass the credit on to the God of their fathers and to Jesus. They received the glory for this amazing work not the apostles or the Holy Spirit himself. We haven't made this man walk by our own power or goodness. The God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has done this. He has brought glory to Jesus who serves him. So be on your outline. Peter is quick to point out it's not something new, but the fulfillment is your blank of what's always been. So Jesus receives the glory, and what Peter is saying, this is actually the fulfillment of what God has been saying to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the prophets before. And God is not done with all the fulfillments of his promises. So for them there were fulfillment of promises. For us here and now, there are still things that aren't finished, that aren't completed, that will happen soon. So one of the takeaways I hope you walk away from is you can receive this life of Jesus, and the fulfillment of that Holy Spirit is going to happen, and happen probably pretty soon. So I gave you a copy of our vision statement. I wrote this in 2007, and the vision is to release the life of Jesus and transform saints. And what I did is I took Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has appointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom for captives, release of darkness for prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, an oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. So I took all of that and summarized it down to what I think our vision is to release the life of Jesus in transformed saints. Our mission is to release the life in Jesus through discipleship, evangelism, and baptism. And the scripture text for that is Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Then Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the end of the age." So I think the point of that is to release the life of Jesus in discipleship, evangelism, and baptism. So evangelism is what Peter is talking to these people about here today. But as we read last week, the body of believers, over several thousand of them now, meet together daily for discipleship, and many are being baptized. So our strategy is to release the life of Jesus in equipped, unified, mature saints. For that, I used Ephesians 4:11. It was he who gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the works of service, so the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then there will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind, every teaching, and the cunning craftiness of men in their deceitful schemes. So when I boiled that down, it came the release of Christ's life in equipped, unified, mature saints. And then lastly, the purpose to express the life of Jesus by glorifying his Father. So the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it was written, "Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns in your name," Romans 15:9. So when we looked at what Peter is doing here today, And the second point of my outline is to glorify Jesus. The bottom line of what I believe we're supposed to do is glorify God through our lives. And I think, see on your outline, we are to release and express the life of Jesus. When we become born again, when the Spirit of God comes into us, then it's our responsibility to open up venues for Him to be released out of us and express His life as opposed to our own life, allowing Him sovereign control of our life. Could you get on board with this? As we're, as a church, seeking the Holy Spirit's leading, this is where we start. This is where we are. And honestly, it's way too wordy. It's way too big. It's way too cumbersome. But as of yet, I haven't figured out how to draw that into a short, succinct phrase that is easily communicated and easily understood. But my hope is that as we seek the Holy Spirit, all of this will become a short, succinct phrase that we could express that would be our church and the heart of our church. That's what I thought we were supposed to be doing, and I don't know if we're hearing something different or it's just a matter of refining that. But this is where we start. So, number two on your outline, the Holy Spirit's plan is salvation in the name of Jesus. So, Acts 3:16-26, this man whom you see and know was made strong because of faith in Jesus' name. Faith in Jesus has healed him completely. You can see it with your own eyes. My friends, I know you didn't realize what you were doing. Neither did your leaders. But God has given a promise through all the prophets, and this is how He has made His promise come true. He has said that Christ would suffer. So turn away from your sins. Turn to God. Turn from your sins will be wiped away. The time will come when the Lord will make everything new. Jesus must remain in heaven until the time when God makes everything new. He has promised this long ago through His holy prophets. Moses said, "The Lord our God will rise you up a prophet like me. He will be one of your own people. You must listen to everything He tells you. Those who do not listen to Him will be completely cut off from their people." He took that from Deuteronomy 15:18-19. Samuel and the prophets also spoke this about Him. They said these days would come. What prophet said was meant for you. The covenant God made with our people long ago is yours also. He said to Abraham, "All nations on earth will be blessed through your children." Genesis 22:18-26:4. God raised up Jesus, who serves Him. God sent Him first to you. He did this to bless you. He wanted you to turn, each of you, from your evil ways. A on your outline, the Holy Spirit helps you recognize sin. So as the Holy Spirit, speaking through Peter to these people, He wanted them to recognize, first of all, their sin. Then to recognize who Jesus is. Peter was very bold at pointing out their sin, and how are we at letting Him recognize our sin? Sadly, in my life, I don't really recognize sin until it's a big mess, and then I figure out, oh. I wish I was more sensitive to His Spirit, and before I get into a mess, I would realize that was sin and turn from it. Sadly, it's not always the case for me. Hopefully, you do better than I do. B, the Holy Spirit helps you receive Jesus as your Savior. So there's a recognizing of sin, and then there's a receiving of Jesus to save you from that sin. One becomes born again, born anew. When I was watching the day of 4th of July begin, as I wrote that, I was sitting in my office as it began to get light outside, and I kept being distracted from my computer screen to look out the window and strain to see what kind of a day it was going to be. And I wondered, what if God makes each new day to illustrate for us the life in the Spirit? Now, Independence Day, 4th of July, was like a lot of summer days that we wait all winter for. Beautiful day. Nice summer day. You know, life in the Spirit, I think, is like that. They're similar, but each one is new and different. And it's like a fresh start. That first few minutes as it's just getting light is magical almost to me. And I think that's the way our life in the Spirit is supposed to be, a refreshing, new excitement about the hope of a new day. Many people get up, time to make the donuts, another day. And unfortunately, many Christians do the same thing. I got to do my devotions, got to read my Bible. Rather than a refreshing, new, vital, living, daily experience. The Holy Spirit helps one with faith. It all works by this amazing ingredient called faith. So what is faith? Faith is believing and trusting in something you can't see. By faith, you believe it to be true. One of the songs that we just watched on YouTube did a miraculous job of explaining that to us, how believing can change the composure of our life and the texture of our day. The beggar had that faith. Somehow or another, when Peter and John walked by and he asked them for money, the two of them looked at him and said, "Hey, we don't have money, but we'll give you what we got. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk." Peter reached out the right hand of Christian Fellowship, took him by the hand, and the guy leaped up and ran and jumped and run. Somehow, Peter and John knew that this man had healing faith. And I wonder if it was because of his desperate, hopeless situation. Because he was desperate and without hope, that's the place where God's faith can take its best root. This man, whom you see and know, was made strong because of faith in the name of Jesus. Faith in Jesus has completely healed him. When Jesus wanted to illustrate this, he used a good soldier. In Matthew 8:10, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. He said to those following him, "What I'm about to tell you is true. In all Israel, I have not found anyone whose faith is so strong." Jesus was returning to his base camp of Capernaum. And as he was coming into town, a centurion Roman soldier came to him, commander of 100 Roman soldiers. Bowed before him and said, "I got a servant who's really sick, sir, and would you come and heal him?" Jesus looked at the Gentile and said, "I will." And the Roman stood up and said, "I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. You just say the word, and he'll be healed. I myself am a man under authority. I tell this man to go, he goes. I tell this man to come, I tell this man to do this, he does it." Jesus, in response to that centurion's comment, said, "Never seen anybody with such great faith." So I think the illustration for us is, on our Independence Day weekend, that we begin to look at our lives as a faithful servant, faithful soldier, a humble yet confident, doing as we are commanded without question or without grumble. Two on your outline, Holy Spirit helps people, helps one in with repentance. Repentance is one of the biggest words I'll ask you to spell today. My friends, I know you didn't realize what you were doing. Jesus, his first words from the cross were, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Sadly, when I recognized sin in my life, I didn't realize what I was doing. Same as these people. Maybe you too. You don't realize it, but the Holy Spirit helps us recognize it and then leads us into repentance where we turn from that. Is this so different from us, this need of repentance? I don't think so. So turn away from your sins. Turn to God. Then your sins will be wiped away. The time will come when the Lord will make everything new. Three on your outline. The Holy Spirit helps you to accept Jesus' substitutional death. A personal exception of Christ's death. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." That's the life we are called to live. A life where his life is a substitute for us for our sins, and he is the substitute in our expression of life all day. Penalty for sin is death. Someone had to die for sin. Jesus died for their sin. Jesus died for our sin. One time for all. But I think like that refreshing morning, it's an ongoing process of us accepting his substitution and us dying to that sinful pattern that we're turning from. Dead. God raised up Jesus who serves him. God sent him first to you. He did this to bless you. He wanted each of you to turn from your ways. God raised up Jesus to bless us. The reason of the resurrection is blessing us. He wanted each of us to turn from our evil ways. He wants to bless us. He wants each of us to turn from our evil ways. Number four on your outline, the Holy Spirit helps one believe in resurrection. It takes an amazing amount of faith to believe that a dead man rose from the dead. Jesus was dead 3 days, and then he got up. Jesus has been in heaven for a few years now, but he's coming back. Death is not the end. When death comes to us who believe in Jesus, who have turned from our sins, who have accepted him on a daily basis and refreshing our life with him, death is not the end. It's just like changing clothes. You take off your earth suit and put on a heaven suit. You just get an upgrade in clothing. See on your outline, the Holy Spirit leads one into remission of sins. Remission is another part of my alliterated outline this week. Are you and I letting him lead us into this? Remission means less. My cancer is in remission. There's still part of it there. And I still go to my cancer doctor every 6 months and we do tests because I think it'll come back. Cancer is a relentless enemy. But right now I'm in remission, which means it's less. And I believe our patterns of sin should become less. They should change. Do we live as if we're forgiven, victorious saints? Is that how we live? In victory? So let's turn away from our sins. Let's turn to God. Then our sins will be wiped away. Soon the time will come when the Lord will make everything new. I think his return is soon. When I look at all the catastrophic things that are going on and read Revelations, I'm thinking he's coming pretty soon. Let's become more heavenly minded, more kingdom minded. As we begin each day, let's be focused more on the heavenly realm and less on the physical realm. Let's become more sensitive to the spiritual realm, more cognizant of what the Spirit is saying to us. D on the outline, the Holy Spirit leads one into refreshment in God's presence. Refreshment is the last of my R words. Have you been outside in one of these hot summer days and experienced a cool front moving across? I was out playing in my yard the other day, dripping wet with sweat, and all of a sudden a fresh breeze came up. And I looked up and you could see a front moving from the west. And as it come, you could just stand there and feel the humidity go down and the temperature go down. And that cool wind, refreshing on a hot summer day. And I think that should be our experience of the Holy Spirit. That when in the midst of the day we're hot, unfortunately I've found my temper a couple times recently. I've hoped I lost it, but I found it. And I need a refreshing, cool breeze of the Holy Spirit to cool me off, to refresh me, to return me away from that. Maybe you don't do that. Maybe I'm the only one. But I think what God wants us to have is a refreshing, intimate relationship with him. As we seek the Holy Spirit as individuals, as in a church, as we seek his refreshment, the refreshment rate of my monitor is each image is refreshed 60 times a second. 60 times a second, the computer is totally refreshed. It's all new. I'm thinking our refreshment rate with the Holy Spirit should be at least that fast. Not a daily drink, but every 60 seconds, we're consciously turning towards, focusing on, refreshing on the Spirit, just like the computer screens that we look at, our TV screens that we look at, our phone screens that we look at, that so many people spend so much time on. That's the refreshment rate I think we should have with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Peter and John that day. Thank you for that crippled beggar. Thank you for the hearts of the people in Solomon's porch who listened to Peter's speaking the truth in love to them. Holy Spirit, thank you for coming today. Hope the scriptures that we looked at help us to embrace you in a new, refreshing way, that we would allow you more control of our lives, and you would lead us and turn us into permanent change to be more and more like your Son, to bring honor and glory to his name. That's why we exist. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.